360 podcast, a J Bird.
Hey, Steve.
What are you doing, buddy?
Oh, I was just watching a little bit of the Packers.
The Packers versus the Bears.
Packers, Bears.
Packers, Bears. It's tale as old as time.
Oldest rivalry in the NFL. Right there.
You know, yep. Packers, Bears. Anyway, goodness gracious. A lot of uproar this week, Jay. Elmer for president. It's been intense.
Mm-hmm.
It's been insane. So we've been working out the details. We're working on the Elmer swag, right? We got a little crazy from us. So we're going to have next week, we'll announce how to get your Elmer swag.
Yep.
You know, that's a coming. Hold tight. Plenty of time.
I've seen the design. It's absolutely stunning.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Anyway, you know, kind of quiet. Elmer's gone a little bit quiet after the attack ads.
He's almost gone dark, but he can bounce back. If anyone can, it's Elmer. I mean, he's going to hit the campaign trail hard this week, he promises.
So, you know, we'll have more on that here coming up here. But anyway, let's just get it. Let's get after it. Mm-hmm. All right.
The big one.
The big one. So the other week we did a structure revisit, right?
Yeah.
People lost their minds. Just minds lost everywhere, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. People are pulling over the side of the road and weeping.
I don't know about that, but
it finally all makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of emails, and me and Jay, we're not big on making promises and not keeping them, right?
Right.
So got a bunch of emails and he said, killer follow up on the structure podcast. I'm about to sneeze here. Hold on.
Woo.
Sorry.
Hello.
I said for that. That's for your listening pleasure there. A bunch of people are like, you know, that was a killer follow up on that. We really enjoyed it. But you guys did Big Rubber Masterclass 1, but you never did number 2.
Yeah. The follow up. The right? Sequel.
So here it is. We're just going to do it. Right, because I've not gone back and listened to the last one, so I could be completely wrong, Jay.
I don't even remember it.
Memory serves. It's memory serves. We got really deep on the dogs, the China Medusas, the difference in what makes a good bulldog, a bad bulldog.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that you're right. There's not bad bulldogs, but I'm just saying, like, the difference in, like, you know, you got your water wolves and all this stuff. And we rambled on.
Forever. It's all coming back to me now.
Right. That's a Celine Dion song. It's all coming back to me. But anyway, we never got to the swim baits and the tubes.
Swim baits and tubes, right.
Swim baits. Tubes.
It's kind of like the other side of the coin.
The other side of Big Rubber, right?
You got to have a full picture. Yep.
You know what? Let me take a drink. Hold on. I've got a delicious Pepsi here. Let me work on it. Jay, say something to the folks listening at home while I enjoy my Pepsi.
Well, thanks for all your kind words. All those that stopped in the shop last week, it's good seeing you. Good talking with you. A lot of podcast people came in.
That's enough of that.
A lot of positive support.
Enough of that.
Some good fish getting caught, too.
Enough of that.
Pretty good. Although the temps have not been dropping.
No, that's a thing we're talking about.
You know, it's almost late September, and we're still getting, you know,
warm. Oh, it's hardcore
70s here. You know,
it's a heat wave. Heat wave. It's warm everywhere. I mean, it's like 80s down here. But we do have, speaking of, because the temperature is going to drop, and it's going to be time for hanging meat.
Yeah,
we're working on the first deep dive video of the season, boys.
Yeah,
hanging meat 2.0.
Gonna be a good one. Yeah, that basically starts next weekend for us.
Right.
When you get real late September, that's when it really kicks in, and I think the temperatures are gonna cooperate the way the forecast looks.
It's gonna fall off the cliff.
Well, the suckers are working right now. It's just been mild. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, Freddie Mercury Palmero, he got 3 sucker fish last week.
Mm, good on him.
So he's been into them, and the Smitties are always knocking them dead on meat.
Meat. So it's for dinner. So we're going to have that deep dive coming out here soon where we sort of talk about how to get the most out of your meat.
Yeah.
What's that? So anyway, Jay, I've got them lined here. I'm sitting here looking at a plethora of swim baits, right?
Trying to designate what qualifies as such.
You know, and before we started the podcast, before we fired this up, I was sort of joking with you. I went, you know, this is a new bait category in most regards, right?
In most regards, yeah.
You know, I'd agree. Aside from Jack's jigs and frickin', you know, hollow shads and sassy shads, not a lot of this is, there's not a lot of ancient history here, right?
True.
There's not been a lot of the big rubber swim baits. So anyway, let's delve in. We're going to just dive head first into this thing on swim baits and tubes. So it's the other half of the big rubber master class. Here we go. So anyway, the ones I'm going to focus on are as follows as far as the swim baits. We have the Fat Tail from Whale Tails. Is that the correct name, Jay? I
think so. Yep, right? That's a new one.
So that is basically what I would call a boot tail. You look on the Musky Shop, it's the Whale Tail. It's their paddle tail. It's got a pretty much a boot tail. We got the Restless Rider, which has got a little bit of a bulldoggy kind of taily thing off of its back with a normal paddle tail. And then we come into the standards here, if you will. The Poseidon, right? Then you got the Swimming Dog. And sort of on the outside of that, you got what, the Savage Gear Sucker, right?
That's a new one, correct?
That's a new one, but it sort of falls in that game plan, right?
Yeah,
not
for
dissimilar.
Sure.
And then sort of what I was thinking, the outlier here is the Boggs Mohawk, right? So is it a swim bait? Is it a rip bait? It's sort of that hybrid between the two. So when it comes to big rubber, we've talked about it before, negative neutral fish, moderately hot fish, fish that you need to contact, right? You need to get it near them. You need to get it close to cover and structure, right? Swim baits, in my mind, are misutilized. Okay.
How do you mean? What are you getting at there?
I take, say, your typical Poseidon user, right? They strap that thing up, they clip it on, they throw it, they reel it in, figure it by the boat, and they're done. Right? They
treat it like a bucktail.
It's not a bucktail. So that's the one thing I want to sort of like convey off the rip, right? The throw it out, reel it in aspect of these is not what I'm interested in. Now that works. I've seen a lot of cool videos of people like they're dialed in on Poseidons at high speed on this body of water, that body of water, whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. But in general, I'm not worried about the hot fish. Half the stuff we ever talk about on the podcast, I mean, if they're hot, like if they're going to hit a Poseidon and you're burning a Poseidon, I bet you they'll hit double eights. I bet they'll hit tens in most circumstances, right? They'll hit a smoker shad or they'll hit something else, minnow baity, because it's a depth thing for me, right? Where swim baits really shine is your depth control, right? They sink. So as we sort of get in the line here, you get your Poseidon, your Swimming Dog, and I'm not talking like the shallow Swimming Dog yet. We'll get there. But these big rubber baits, you have some different weighting. You have some different weighting out of the package and different action. And so what I would sort of convey to people in the as clear as possible, you know, they might all be swim baits, but they are all different in some regard in their action, right? So let's take the two biggest culprits. The two most common of this group, right? Swimming Dog, Poseidon. Correct, Jay?
Chaos Poseidon.
Yep.
Musky Innovations makes the Swimming Dogs. Correct.
Right. And you go, what's the difference? It's like 6-1, half dozen another, right? Is there a difference if I have one of these or I have another? So to the layman, you go, there's not a lot of a difference here, right? It's two 10-inch swim baits, whether they're 10s and 12s. Correct, Jay?
On the Chaos, yeah.
Right. So if you look at the way these are shaped, the Swimming Dog is a little bit more streamlined on the belly. It's got a little bit more curvature, where the Poseidon's a little flatter, right? What I can tell you,
yep,
is the action on the swimming dog out of the package is wider. Right? So it's going to have a different fall rate. It's going to have a different action. So like the Poseidon, the plastic Poseidon's made out of, that's a little bit of a tighter of a bait, right? In general, that bait is a tighter wobble. And you go, well, what do you mean? The difference between a Jake and a Grandma, right? Big difference. You go, Jake's a tight action, a Grandma's a tighter action, and Jake's a wider action. That's the same way I'm sort of viewing these swim baits, that the swimming dog has a fatter, wider action off the rip, right? Where the Poseidon's a little bit tighter. And it's a difference of roll, right? Now, application-wise, what does that mean? So, if I'm doing a high-speed application, I can go to that Poseidon. But if I'm going to low-speed, a slow and low, a negative and neutral fish presentation, I'm thinking swimming dog, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's got a fatter tail wobble. It's got a different roll to the body. So the body on these things have a roll side to side. Where the Poseidon seems to be a little bit more streamlined. And it's not as erratic in the front end. And it's just the tail beating back and forth. Right? So conceptually for me, if I'm looking for low and slow, I have a weed bed, I have timber, I have rocks, I have cover, I have structure. I need to get down near, right? We've made an assessment. The muskies are not high. They're not hitting bucktails. They're not hitting topwater. And I need to get down there, and I need to slow things down to elicit a strike. Swim dog's where I'm going, right? Negative and neutral, tough bites. If I'm looking for something that maybe has a natural profile, right, a natural look to things, but it's not a blade, it's not a, you know, it's not a bucktail, it's not your typical menu presentation, but I'm going to burn the thing, is the Poseidon, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. with the swimming dog, it's more of a negative to neutral. It is a more, more elegant presentation, if you will, right? It really opens up at low speeds. It really has a nice wobble. It has a nice action where I'm going to just finesse. With a Poseidon's more of a hammer. Okay. That make any sense?
It does. I follow you.
So, you know, where the Poseidon will open up is a higher speed. Now, there's a couple tricks here I'll give you. Let's say you're a Poseidon owner. You don't have a swimming dog. And you want to finesse this bait. Again, you can take the tail and stretch the tail and really, really get this plastic warmed up. One thing I'll throw out here with like Poseidons, what I like to do is I will take them and kind of heat them up and try to loosen that plastic up. It's a very durable plastic, but the looser it is, it seems like it gets a fatter action. Okay. And this is going to sound like heresy, but one thing I like to do with my Poseidons, I like to cut the tails off and flip them upside down. Not a popular statement, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
But I'll come back, an inch and a half, cut them with scissors, flush, and just flip that upside down. Right? And it runs superbly different. It's a different action.
I believe it. Okay. Never tried that.
And so now it looks way different in the water and has a sort of a different vibe. So... But with a Poseidon, I will take that head. I will take that tail, flip it upside down, and I'm applying it in a different manner, right? So we're sort of comparing a Poseidon and a swimming dog at low speeds or high speeds or whatever, straight retrieve. What I like about the Poseidon, it's got a very pointed head. It's got that squared off kind of face and back. And inverting the tail, this becomes one of my favorite baits, and I'm just going to rip and fall, right? Because I really think that swim baits are underutilized in a rip stop motion or a real motion, right? So the Poseidon's going to be the bait of choice if I want that erratic rip stop, and it's falling off, right? And so these baits, really, the Poseidon's going to fall a little bit more vertically, right? So he's going to rip forward, and he's going to head down, and he's falling down, right?
Okay.
And that tail undulating on the fall, where a lot of times, like I said, I mean, with the swim baits, people are just sort of going, well, they're not hitting bucktails. I'm going to throw a swim bait and do the exact same thing that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Throw it out, reel it in, throw it out, reel it in, throw it out, reel it in. There are applications, there are times that it will matter. Maybe they want a little bit more natural of a profile, whatever that might be. Right? But you can really pull some fish that are negative, neutral, and sort of on the cusp if you're willing to sort of work this bait. I think maybe not as designed, but the way I envision they should be used, right? Here's this big 10-inch, 12-inch profile of a bait fish that is injured, it is dying, it is not happy, it is distressed, and things are falling apart quickly, right? And I think the best way to do that is the surge reeling, right? Or the ripping, right? You're going to advance that bait forward and let it fall off. Advance, let it fall off. Now, what does that thing look like on the vertical fall? Like I said, it flipping the Poseidon tail upside down, I like it as that bait. I like it as a rip stop bait, right? And it's going to have a different fall off than a bulldog, because a bulldog's going to sort of like glide forward and out, right? Where these swim baits will fall a little bit more nose down, and now you've got this very curvy dive curve, if you will, right? Forward and then fall down and up and down, yo-yoing that bait. That's where those two baits sort of excel to me. Whereas the swimming dog, like I said, if I want to get that thing down there and I want to grind, and I want to just sort of creepy crawl that thing with a fat wobble, that's where the swimming dog's at. With a Poseidon,
Are you describing the fall on that as more of like a jig-like fall than a glide?
It's a different angle. Like I said, you know, the reason I flipped the tail on the Poseidon is just because it falls differently. Right?
Is the vibration totally different by doing it that, or is it a subtle change?
It's just the curve of the way it'll run.
Okay.
It falls off a little bit tighter angle because, like, the tail's not catching it and sort of helicoptering it upwards, if you can imagine. It makes it a little bit more of a cute angle. So it's like I throw it next to some weeds, I reel and I stop. And it's like, boom, and it's forward, down, instead of like that slowed angle.
Yeah. Well, I've never been on the, with the game plan of like actually ripping, like traditional type rubbers like Medusas or Bulldogs, ripping the swim baits, but more like the surgeon you're talking about. Speed surges and slow pulls, sweeps, more like the sweep and then follow the line back kind of action with those.
Well, and the thing I'd say is this is like, you know, like with a bulldog, we're going to advance that from across our body, like its center mass is like noon, and we'll go over to like nine, right? Big sweep.
Yeah.
Shorter sweep, whack. You know, move it a foot and a half, 2 feet, and really get that thing to sort of fill the gap, if you will. You know, if they're not on bulldogs, then doing this is going to sort of open things up.
That's right. The way I look at it, too. Yeah, I got right? you.
And so you can sweep, stop, reel, stop, whatever it is. But I'm not super interested in these baits in the capacity of throwing it out and turning the handle and reeling it in. Right. That works. That's fine. You know, if they're dialed in on that, God bless them. But I really turn to these rubber swim baits when it's a negative neutral bite and I need something natural, or I need something that's going to sort of stand out and be a different look. Right. So with that being said, is differentiating between these two predominant baits. So like I said, the swimming dog is going to be that straighter, herky, jerkier, slower wobble in my book, right? The typical weighted one. Whereas the Poseidon is you know, going to excel at higher speed. But like I said, the inversion of the tail and the rip sort of makes them akin to one another, whereas if the swimming dog, I want more advancement and stop and weirdness, because the swimming dog seems to fall a little flatter, right? Whereas the Poseidon falls a little bit more nose down. So it's going to be an application thing. You go, what application is that, right?
Yeah.
If I'm fishing tight weeds, like really nasty pockets, I sort of want that head down to that Poseidon, right? If I'm fishing structure, swimming dog. And I'm going, you know, most of the time I'm throwing black or white, very basic. But between the two, I mean, that's sort of my thought. It's like I do better on the swimming dog when it's like slow and steady and boring. And the erratic nature of the Poseidon really seems to shine when it's just like herky jerky. And so it's not a matter of one versus the other. It is a matter of what do they excel at? Okay. So, I mean, that's just the basic comparison there with those two. Now, if I'm going to just straight retrieve, swimming dog, hands down, right? For the way that I fish and the fish that I'm targeting with swim baits, I'm going with the swimming dog. But
because it's throwing out that crazy wobble with the tail.
Right.
You know, the tail on the swimming dog is it. The whole tail is kicking to the side and up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then on the end of the tail, you've got that vibration thing that is actually erratic. It's not like a steady vibration. Right. You know, it's like it kicks in, it stops, and then it catches again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's cool about that bait. A little bit different.
Well, and I mean, the thing could be said, you look at. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm looking at all these different swim baits, and they're all different, you know, and we're trying to
go.
Very
true.
Yeah. That's why I'm trying. It's minute details is what we're trying to get into. So, like, you know, if I'm looking at the swimming dog versus the Poseidon, like I said, profile and wobble at lower speed. So colder water, swimming dog. Right? Warmer water, Poseidon, in my book. That's what it'll boil down to. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's been my assessment thus far. Now, I've caught some good fish on fast retrieves with both of those, but if we're outside of the bucktail nature of things or the realm of things, that's sort of where I'm going to be leaning. So anyway, that brings in the other four contenders in the conversation of swim baits. Savage Gear 3D Sucker, right?
Yeah.
Let me grab this guy. So this is the 10-inch bait. Definitely a heavier bait overall, right? If you pick up the swimming dog versus Poseidon, it's a heavier bait. It's a fatter bait than both of these, right? It's got a hook harness that pulls out of the body that's magnetic, right? And maybe the same kind of plastic density as the swimming dog, somewhere in that. It's got a little bit of flop to it, but you go, okay, so we've sort of compared the Poseidon and the swimming dog. Where does the Savage Gear sort of stack up in this? I just think it's a heavier bait that has a different line tie angle, whereas it's going to run a bit deeper just off the rip, right? So it becomes a matter of, like, if we're comparing, let's say we're comparing the swimming dogs and the Poseidons as bucktails, right? Bucktail A versus Bucktail B. Well, the Savage Gear is going to be the spanky baits of the bunch. It's just heavier and it's just going to typically run deeper.
Yeah, right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, you compare two brands and you go, well, they're all the same. However, this one's just a heavier build, and that sort of feels like where the gap that the Savage Gear fills. Just off the rip, where it is just a denser, fatter, deeper running bait. Again, it seems to open up more at higher speeds than lower speeds, though, right? So I'm going to sort of lump that in. That is a faster bait to really get action out of it. Now, it's got that Euro stuff, like I said, where it's got the removable hook harness where it sort of pulls out of the body, and that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But that seems to be a little bit of a it is more Poseidon-y than swimming dog. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I get to this boot tail, this whale tail, the fat tail, right? Now, it's got a rounded body, a removable weight system, and this square tail where this thing really opens up at lower speeds, right? In my opinion, whatever, it's all opinion-based, but this guy seems to be able to dial in and has that wide, natural movement at low speeds, right? So it's like another swimming dog alternative. So it's like Savage Gear and Poseidon, swimming dog and the whale tail. Then we get into, like, say, the Restless Rider, right? Very soft plastic, very kind of thin, rounded tail with that back fin, which is another low speed runner, right? So this bait seems to be a low speed, fishable, you know, swim bait. And then you get into the Tomahawk, or the Boggs Mohawk, which seems to, like, really open up at high speed. So I'm not saying that this is, like, this is what this bait's made for, but that's sort of the assessment I've made, where you go, Mohawk, Savage Gear, and Poseidon like speed and fall off, where the Restless Rider, the boot tail from Whale Tail, and the Swimming Dog are more finesse. You see where I'm going?
Application of speed. Sure.
Application of speed. And so it's not the most exciting facet, but you go, well, why do I buy one or the other?
Yeah, and right. Why do you pick one out of the box? You know, if you have some kind of assessment and you can determine, you know, what type of speed you should be running, you're going to have a better
right.
choice
so,
understanding these baits a little bit
better.
That's
what I'm trying to convey, because it's like not the most exciting stuff, but you go, okay, the difference in these things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's swim baits, a swim baits, a swim bait. Whereas, like I said, I'm sitting here and looking at just this pearl white swimming dog in my hand. That is, to me, it's a low speed cold water killer. Whereas the Poseidon's just a fast alternative to a bucktail. Simply put, that's my opinion of them. That's what it seems to be in my purview of where I've fished from north to south. Is if I need to get finessey, I need to get down cover and structure wise with these things, I'm going with the swimming dog. If I just need a different profile, the Poseidon. Now, you know, with that being said, it's going to situationally, it might differ, but it's about action. Like I said, that wide, fat, rolly action is going to be that swimming dog, the whale tail, and the Restless Rider. And the higher speed thump is going to come from the other three. So just so you have that in your mind, you're going, okay, I'm fishing cold water and it seems to be a swim bait application, or I'm fishing shallow bowl shape. You can sort of determine between the two. But now it becomes a matter of where do we apply this and when, right? When, Jay, should you go, well, I don't want to throw a bulldog or a Medusa, but I need to be throwing a swim bait.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. When does that come into play, at least in your mind?
I would say speed would be one consideration. You know, if the water's, like, for example, right now, we're in kind of a period where speed could be an element of success.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, that's going to fall off quickly, too, as the water temp gets cooler. So as we approach fall more, sometimes you got to make a determination when to slow down.
Right.
Sometimes bulldogs, to work properly, even Medusas, other baits like that, a lot of people are making the choice as they get into later fall in the true cold water periods to go with shallow versions. And right. It's not that they're choosing a shallow version to speed cover control. Shallow water better. It's speed control. They can get the same action out of that at a slower RPM. So it's like, I think it's the same thing, you know, like the swimming dogs by Muskie Innovations have been extremely effective in the summer around by us. I know a handful of people that have done really well with those when bucktails are not the bait of choice. That's like the 1-2 punch with some people I know.
Right.
And and what is that? Okay. Speed kills at times, but most of the time it doesn't. you go slower. We're going to talk about tubes later, I hope.
Right.
It's kind of the same situation where you can drop off. You can cover a little bit deeper because it's a water column thing, and they're not always in the top 2 feet.
You just said something like, because when I think swim baits, it's like 4 feet and down.
Yeah.
Like if muskies are above 4 feet, why are we doing this? That's why I don't understand. Like, okay. A lot of it for me is like, okay, I get it. Sometimes you could cite an example and say, this body of water, they love Poseidons, they love them burned. Okay, well, that's not the rest of the habitat range, right? That's one body of water. But in a lot of circumstances, is like, these are so productive when we get them down below the level of light penetration or closer to the fish. And that's sort of where my head's at. Like, because I really don't have a lot of interest in, oh, I put double tens in front of a Poseidon. Okay. throw double tens, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand the look or the profile differentiator, but in the grand scheme of things, would that fish have hit double tens whether you had a swim bait behind it or not? Who knows? But it's possible, right? It's not the purest application of the tool, if you will. And so for me, it's like, I think with these swim baits, what you can really do that's unique opposed to a dog or Medusa, right? So to work in a bulldog or a Medusa, you need to pull it forward and stop. Pull it forward and stop, right? I think it's the lack of advancement to get action, right? A foot and a half. Surge, stop. I mean, a surge could be 12 inches, right? I think these things excel in tighter parameters of the distance from cover, the distance from structure, and how quickly, I mean how slowly we're advancing them.
I think you just hit it on the nail on the head right there. That's it. That's the difference between a bulldog / Medusa presentation, quicker, faster advancement, and this
extended fall off, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is getting into the depth you want to be at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly does it need to advance?
Sure.
Because I can take a swimming dog and it moves 6 inches and it surges and it stops. I mean, very small, minute movements followed by elongated periods of just a swing and tail, they're going to be interesting, right? Where a bulldog or Medusa does not produce that much interest in small motion, right? So a hot fish, anybody can catch hot fish. We all know that. So that's the applications I'm looking for. So let's go swimming dog application. What I'm really thinking about, some of these break lines, we look at like a tight break line, right? And we're marking bait at, let's say it breaks at 15 feet. That's the main contact point, and it goes in the main basin, and it's 15 up. You could really high rod tip, slow retrieve this guy and just let him fall and undulate and really cover that water column up and down, right? Where I feel like the Poseidon, if you don't flip the tail over, you don't augment that bait at all, is going to be better on that straighter retrieve in open water and that more up and down. I hate to call it like a... It's one of those baits that's going to work way better if you're just banging it into stuff in my book, right? Pull, stop, pull, stop, pull, stop, pull, stop, and allowing that slack to build because he just simply falls more vertically, right? And that's going to be the thought process for me is like, I'm looking at, say, that break, that 15 to shallow kind of deal. And I'm going to contort with that swimming dog in just the most erratic kind of herky jerky action I can. But let's say, Jay, right now, you still got weeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up on the edge. You still got weeds. You still got all this muck. Taking that Poseidon and just dropping it into pockets and dropping it till you go, okay, the weeds are probably like 5 feet down. Reel. Let him get into it. Rip it up. Let him get into it. Rip it up. That seems to be more effective. Right? I think that the swimming dog's going to excel more, like, again, straight retrieve, open water scenario where the Poseidon's fall off factor is going to really make it excel when that weed cover's still there. But if I take a body of water and the weeds are gone, swimming dog. Like 10 times out of 10. If there's no weeds, I'm going with the swimming dog. Because I like its open water application better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, I agree.
You know, I'm just sort of riffing here, but, you know, we've had so many people ask about this. I'm just trying to, like, you're looking in the tackle box and you see all these baits, you go, which one and why?
Right? Yeah, right, right.
You know, where, like, if I sort of go down the hierarchy of this, let's say I'm getting follows on the swimming dog, but it's not enough action. That's when I'm going the restless rider, right? I'm on a body of water where they're liking that wide, that roly-poly look of things, but I'm not getting the commitment. The restless rider with the big tail off its back seems to, like, just have a that little bit more, that little bit more panache to it, right? Sort of like we look at, like, double tens versus 8-9 stagger. Right? Conceptually, it's just a little bit different take on this sort of roly swim bait. You see where I'm going?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you consider double tens. Swimming dog's a double 10, Poseidon's a double 10, and they branch off in two different directions of tight, fast baits or soft, rolling baits. And you got to figure out what your fish want in your body of water, right? Colder the water, the more rolly, the more plotty. But then you have those other options, like the freaking whale tail. You know, it comes with a weight in it. You take that weight off and you work it superbly slow. It's just rolling and rolling and rolling, right? Where the restless rider just has that extra little over the edge kind of look to it with that tail. Whereas, say, I'm moving fish on a Poseidon, or I'm not moving them, but I'm seeing them on electronics, or they're not, I need to get down deep, but I need speed, Savage Gear sucker. Because of the overall weighting of these baits, you can break them into two kind of family groups, is what we're trying to do to help it make this easier for you, where you go, okay, why do I need X, Y, and Z? So if you're on a body of water, they like fast swim baits, right? Period. Savage Gear sucker Poseidon. They need a slow, undulating, very finessey thing. Swim bait, restless rider, whale tail. Right? And you can sort of like split those baits, those six baits that everybody knows, including the box. You can split those into two groups and go, these are the applications I need to be using them in. That would be my take. That makes sense, Jay? I don't know. Give me a little something here.
Oh, that's the whole thing, application. What do you think about water temps?
Warmer.
You don't deal well. Yeah, I shouldn't.
I mean,
say that.
Everywhere you go. I mean, warmer, faster, but yeah. water temps are one thing, but conditions, right? I mean, for the way I fish. And sort of where my brain's at. If it's not prime, swimming dog, restless rider, whale tail. Right? Slower, lower, more undulating. The Poseidon, the bogs, and the Savage Gear really seem to shine in these bodies of water that they just want to see something other than a bucktail. Right? So. Mm-hmm. The finesse, the softer plastics, the finesse baits are on my list of negative neutral, not the best conditions. I need to make something happen. Where the flip side of that coin, again, is a bucktail alternative, a straight retrieve kind of deal, unless we're doing probative with a Medusa. That's the way I would break them apart, at least the way that I fish. Maybe I'm wrong, whatever. This is what I do. So, you know, high, bright sun, dead flat, calm, swimming dog, period. Right? Post-frontal, all that stuff, swimming dog, whale tail, restless rider. I'm getting follows on the swimming dog. They're not committing. Restless rider's coming out right after it. You see where I'm going? It's trying to categorize and break these things down so it's not just like, oh, I got a bunch of swim baits. Which one do I use now? Okay. So let's say it's fish are fired up and you're third man in the boat, right, Jay? Let's give a scenario. We're fishing. It is low-hanging clouds and looks wonderful. And the guy in the front of the boat moves one on Poseidon. Well, it doesn't commit. Well, I might break out that freaking Savage Gear sucker that's going to run a foot. At the exact same speed, that thing's going to run deeper. Period. Right? Hang two of them off the side of your boat with the exact same amount of line out. That thing's going to run deeper. So it might be the level of light penetration. It might be this. But on a hot fish day, if they're not eating the Poseidon, the Savage Gear's coming out. If they're not eating that, the Bogs is coming out, right? And I'm not saying the Bogs is an interesting bait because you can rip it and do some different stuff, right? But the Bogs is sort of like the restless rider of the finesse family, right? So the finesse family, just to reiterate, the swimming dog, whale tail, and restless rider, the power fishing is Savage Gear, Bogs, and Poseidon. That's the best way I can put it. So if it's finesse, those three, if it's power fishing, and if it's profile, right? Those are the three I'm thinking about. So when I apply my swim baits, I'm generally going finesse. I'm going low and slow and boring, as much action with as little advancement as I can get. Whereas those other three are going to be those, let's just chuck a bait. You know, you got a bucktail, a topwater, going in the boat, and your third man in the boat, maybe the Poseidon's going to be the right bait.
I think you're right. I think that's the primary goal. You know, the primary use of that bait is right there, like you said.
Right.
You know. And it should be thought of as such.
Well, and I've not heard anybody put it that way, and I'm not saying toot the horn, but I'm just going, that's where my brain's at with it.
I don't look at them as bucktail alternatives.
Well, and some people do. And like I said, if it's me, you, and Jim in the boat, and you're in the nose, and Jim's in the middle, I'm in the back, and it goes topwater, bucktail, yeah, Poseidon. But if it goes crappy conditions, and things are rough, and we can't move a fish, swimming dog, whale tail, and restless rider are coming to mind.
And when you say crappy conditions, you mean like, yeah, it's almost flat calm and it's kind of sunny out.
Right. Post-frontal conditions, you know, the typical cold front, the kiss of death stuff. You've been out there for 2 days and they won't move.
Yeah. Right?
They're bottom tight and they're just so finicky. Sometimes you don't have to have post-frontal conditions. They're just being obstinate, right? That natural presentation, that slow, herky-jerky stuff will get them pulled up. That's just the breakdown between, again, taking a family of baits and comparing the characteristics of six baits that are sort of dominant in that bait class and how they play out, right? You know, because you go, what's the difference between the two? That's the way I think about it. That's basically the best way I can sort of throw those two groups. That's the way I view them. There's two groups, right? Now you go, what's the application? Like I said, we've talked about it. It sounds like I'm going swimming dog and the whale tail and the restless rider as the dominant, but it's truly not like the others. Like I said, the Poseidon is a tight cover, nasty, funky bait, really excels. But if things are happening on straight retrieves with bucktails and topwater, but they're not committing, that's when those other ones seem to shine, where like the Savage Gear has pulled up fish, third man in the boat, right? And the Poseidon will sort of get different looks. Maybe they've seen a bucktail, but they're in that zone, right? And that's the next consideration of condition fish. So your Poseidon, your swimming dog, and that Bogs might really excel on pressured water as a bucktail alternative. Because you can't have it both ways, Jay. Because me and you are like, rarely are we considering conditioning, are we considering pressure, right? So if you're on a body of water where you're seeing nothing but blades fly through the air, Poseidon's going to be a top consideration. They're up high. Yeah. They're up shallow. However, they're seeing a lot of blades.
True.
Right?
Good point.
So that's sort of where that's going to excel in some capacity. All right, Jay. we took a quick Pepsi break there, Jay. But anyway, you know, that's kind of the breakdown of those two. Structurally, one thing I'll say is this. We didn't cover the structure on the swim baits, right? Structurally on swim baits, it's no different than your crank situations, right? What you have with a swim bait is you have ultimate control of running depth based on speed, right? Now, again, that comes back to the more weight you add, the deeper it runs, right? So you can have a deeper running action, or excuse me, a deeper running bait with the same action at higher speeds, or a shallower running bait with the same action, right? So more weight, obviously deeper, pretty simple concept there, but the addition, the application of weight is going to change their running depth across the board. So if you need to get down to 12 feet quickly, you can add a ton of weight to a lot of these. I mean, like the Restless Rider sort of got a spot there for weight on it, the Whale Tail, Savage Gear, you could screw some weight into it, and the Poseidon definitely, right? That's the only other thing I'd add on those is like how to do it. And Jay sort of just like back me up here, come back around on why a swim bait, not a bulldog?
Advancement of the bait. It's a slower advancement. It gives them more time to react, and in colder water temperatures or in tougher conditions, that could be the ticket.
Yeah, that'll get around it. Anyway, so I hope we covered it, because there's been so many people like, please explain all the different swim baits. Because, I mean, from a layman's perspective, they all look the same.
Well, so the crankbaits.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at a bunch of crankbaits on the wall, it's like, oh, it looks like, well, there's different colors and there's different lengths.
Right. What's the deal?
What's the deal?
And I mean, you know, just look for versatility. The Whale Tail's got some versatility with wading, you know, and it's one of those things. I'm not going to go out and like, I really don't think of a swim bait as like a search bait or a patterning bait. Understand your pattern before you're going to these baits, right? It's not something that we've had for the last 30 years, right? It's a tool to sort of accomplish a job, which is going to be negative and neutral fish or condition fish. So if you're fishing negative and neutral, again, think of that concept. If it's they've seen too many bucktails, cranks, or topwaters, sort of swallow it in that capacity. The other thing, Jay, is tubes. Oh my goodness. Tubes. Love tubes, right?
Good stuff.
What are you guys doing with tubes is a question I've heard a million times. How do you rig your tubes? You know, all these different things. So when it comes to tubes, I fish the Waterwolf tubes, which we have some of those, right? We've gotten some in the past.
Right.
But primarily in, you know, I think the basic tube that everybody has, the Red October, right?
Yep.
October. So those tubes come in three options, shallow, mid, and deep.
Right? Yep.
So the tube itself does not denote the running depth. The rig that you have in the tube denotes the running depth, right? Pretty basic, but let's cover it. So each, you know, iteration of running depth is dictated by basically a jig head that's in the head of the tube, right? This is one of these presentations, or one of the presentations. Again, you need to understand the patterning, right? You don't want to come out and it's season opener and you're running a deep running tube. Guess where they're not, Jay? They're not deep.
Deep in the water column, right?
So you're going, well, I've ran tubes and I didn't catch any fish. Were you running the appropriate area of the water column? You're running the appropriate depths.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say it's mid-season. It's July. We've done very well in the northern woods, Jay, the North Woods, on tubes, right? Now, what we figured out is during the middle of the day and during majority of the day, these fish are 8-10 feet down. That
or
mid,
more.
Yep. Or more, mm-hmm. yeah. But that mid-running tube is going to get down in that zone, right? Yep. So we understand the pattern, that they're on weed tops, they're on structure, creek channels, whatever it might be, 8-10 feet down. And that tube's going to provide us a quick access to that zone, right? Because a tube versus, say, like a Medusa, a tube is vertical. It's up and down, right? The way that they fall, rigged with a typical Red October rig, is you watch that bait. If you just drop it off the side of the boat, it does not glide per se. It falls vertically, right? So that tube is about the rate of fall, how fast it's falling, what target depth are you looking at before you can get out of trouble, right? So again, a bulldog, you pull it, it moves forward. A tube, you rip up on it and it comes up and it goes back down. It advances a little bit forward, but again, it doesn't advance that much. So speed becomes a matter of forward advancement and what kind of action it has. So, you know, with a tube, I'm not looking to move that thing 5-6 feet forward every time, right? It's a 2-3 foot pump and it goes up and it goes right back down. It is really just banging the top of things. Wouldn't you say, Jay?
Yeah. And it's kicking to the side too.
Right. They have some side to side erratic action in some regard.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's not quite a glide.
No,
you know, it's not quite this fall off, or, you know, we look like a toothy tough or something like that that has some interesting side to side or rip. The basic methodology of a tube is up and down, right? It's almost pseudo jigging.
I was just gonna say that, right?
Up down, up down, up down. Okay. So the application of that tube is slow advancement, right? Big hops that are not moving forward tremendously fast, right? Again, the slow advancement. So that is to be probative and to make constant contact. Weed top, weed top, weed top. Bang, 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 bang. Knocking on the door on structure, knocking on the door on cover, right? It's banging off a reef. It's banging off a hump continually. And so the way we work tube, we've shown in videos before, is generally it's a upward pump of the rod, right? We're not sweeping the rod. It's up and down. And it sort of hops that bait forward a foot or two, and it hops the bait forward a foot or two, and it's a lot of work in some capacity. But those tubes are getting down there and really staying tight to things. You know, Jay, I'd say what, a lot of scenarios we've cut these fish off weeds?
Quite often, true.
Yeah. So it might be a point in conjunction with weeds, or it might be just a simple point, or it might be a hump, but the tubes are not even in the conversation with some of the big rubber, right? It's not a matter of like the bulldog rip and it falls off. I mean, a medium tube from Red October falls relatively fast.
It does.
Right? So it's about bouncing that thing. And I'm usually trying to not move that thing forward more than just a few feet. You know, you don't want to like do this from the water to the top of your head kind of pull on this thing. It's a pump reel, pump reel, pump reel kind of speed, right? Up, down, up, down, up, down.
That, you're picking up the slack quickly.
Right, you're picking up the slack quickly. Well, that thing is just banging and pumping right over top of stuff.
Yes.
That's the methodology you use to catch fish on tubes. Definitely during that summer lull or the peak season, right? So this negative and neutral fish they were picking up on a bulldog that might be a little bit more into coming up and hitting a bait, right, is not the fish we're looking for. The fish we're looking for in tubes are weed tight, structure tight, and are barely going to move. Right? I don't believe in reaction strikes as much, but with these things, it's like, I feel like if you get it in the proximity of a fish, he's going to give it a look. Right? So the application is going to be moderately pressured water, right? Moderately conditioned fish, midsummer, late fall, tight to structure, tight to cover fish. Jay, and I'm just going to throw the ball in your court because I know you love too. I know we've done an open water. I know we've done extra weed and stuff. What's sort of like your assessment of when these things shine the most?
I think a lot of people, like you said, moderate pressure. These fish have been seeing bucktails quite a bit. Uh-huh. It's midsummer. We're talking July or what have you. And I mean, what I really like to do with those is let's say the boat's sitting on the deep weed edge. You know, it's sitting in 10 feet of water. I throw outside and I bring it towards the weed edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing's coming up at the last. And that's another thing is when that thing's working, it's magic. Let's say 6 feet down, approximately one of these mid 10 inch Red October tubes. And that thing's herky jerky coming in. It's kicking to the side a little bit. And then as it comes up towards the boat, you're doing upward sweeps to get that thing to rise in the water column. And that's been a great trigger. That's been, we've seen a lot of fish caught in that manner, whether you're working perpendicular or parallel with a deep weed edge. But
well, hey,
that was the type of thing.
You just said something ridiculous. Parallel. Hmm. Explain that, which is like devastating with tubes.
Yeah, again, you're sitting on the deep weed edge, and the guy in the front of the boat better be running parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Because number two and number three can have their option to work inside or outside.
But a lot of guys are fishing solo, which is like probably the best cast is, let's say we want to work that 10-foot break or that 12-foot break, you're really where the fish are that whole time.
Yeah, run one parallel and then go perpendicular. Just alternate each one.
Yeah.
Angles.
Right. And so, you know, that
and work slow.
That's the thing though. I mean, but to the parallel thing is a tube on the outside weed edge is about the best thing I've ever seen. You know, if you're really hurting for a fish, and again, we're not coming out here and doing this thing. If we go, okay, if they're on bucktails, topwaters, crankbaits, it's not what you want to be doing. They're negative neutral, they're not moving, it's going to get where the fish are. So, like you said, if it's a multi-boat thing, or multi-angler thing, that's great. But if you're just one dude, get that parallel going. Fish that outside edge, right? Fish it parallel because it's going to be in their face more often, right? Mm-hmm.